If your Bibles, I would like to follow along. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 8. This will not be our main text, Lord. One of our main texts will be back in the book of Leviticus. The Lord being our helper, I'd like to begin here. And please continue to pray. It says, and when he, that is the Lord Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. We here see a man that's in a horrible condition. He's a leper. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of a far greater problem, and that's sin. The disease of leprosy was so debilitating that it would literally eat away at the flesh and would cause someone with leprosy to lose fingers and toes and even limbs of the body. It would literally eat away at your members. It was debilitating. It was horrible. And nobody wanted the dreaded disease of leprosy. Not only was the physical effects of leprosy horrible, but what it did to you in other areas of your life was terrible. In Leviticus chapter 13, in verse 45, says, and the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent or torn, and his head bare. He shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days when the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. In addition to those horrible physical effects that I described, there was the horrible social effects. A leper, as we just read in the scriptures, to be without the camp. He is to dwell alone. So, if you're a leper, your precious family that you love so much, you can't be with them. The community where you hold people dear, you can't be with them. And the church, the place of worship, you can't go there. Now, as we think about leprosy as being a picture of sin, you know, leprosy could start in a little spot But then it grows and it grows and it grows till it could encompass the whole body. And that's the way sin is. The Bible tells us a little leaven, and leaven in the Bible represents sin. A little leaven. Leaven. The whole lump. Now we can see sin in our own lives and see, have we let sin take a foothold? It tends to grow. Doesn't get better. It gets worse. And that's why the Lord will tell us in His Word to flee sin. He tells us to flee fornication. He tells us to flee youthful lust. He tells us to flee the love of money. It's sin can separate us from our families. It was very sad to me as a probation officer for all those many years to see somebody that had been locked up in prison for maybe 20 years. And they come out and they have literally burned bridges with all their family. And they had no place to go. I don't really blame their family. There were situations where many of them were addicted to illegal drugs and substances, and they had victimized their family. They had stolen from their own family. But it was a sad thing that this disease of sin, what the disease of leprosy represents, could separate us from our family. Can separate us from our communities. Some people are literally separated by being in jail facilities, and others we can be physically or emotionally separated from those we care about. And then they were separated from the house of God. And sin can separate us from the house of God. If someone persists in forsaking the assembly, you know, when we join the church, we make a promise, much like a husband and wife make as they come to be married, that they promise to be faithful unto each other till death do they part. And we make that promise when we join the church of the Lord Jesus, to be faithful unto the Lord Jesus till death do we part. So if there's a member that doesn't come and forsakes the assembly, there'll come a time when they cease to be a member of the church of the Lord Jesus. They have to be excluded from the membership. Doesn't mean they can't come. We welcome anyone to come. You don't have to be a member to come, and we are thankful for those that are so faithful that are not members. But our sin can separate us from the membership. Other sins can do that. So this disease of leprosy that represents sin is a dreadful thing. And because of what Adam did, every single person that's been conceived into this world has leprosy. Sin, I'm talking about. So here's this man. He comes to the Lord Jesus. He's a leper. But it's obvious he loves the Lord and he wants to worship him, and he does. He said, "Behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This man understood that he couldn't heal himself of this physical disease of leprosy that he had, but he knew the one that he was worshiping and the one that he was bowing before could heal his leprosy. And he comes to the only one in the entire universe that had the ability to help him with his leprosy problem. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The Lord Jesus healed him. The Lord Jesus, in his strength, in his power, and his might, was able to immediately take care of his leprosy problem. You know, and the Lord could have done this in different ways. The Lord could have just thought the thought, and he'd be immediately healed of his leprosy. But Jesus went further than that. Jesus touched him, physically touched him. Now again, think, you're a leper. Everywhere this man went, he had to holler out, "Unclean, unclean." And he'd watch everybody scatter away from him because nobody wanted the dreaded disease of leprosy. Think of the loneliness. Wherever we go, people run from us. Wherever we go, as we are told by the law of Leviticus to shout out, not just to say in a low voice, but to cry, "Unclean, unclean." Can you imagine how he felt? And I'll tell you, when King Jesus touched him and healed him, that was likely the first human touch he had felt in a long, long time. But what a blessing that the first touch he would feel was the touch of King Jesus, who is healing him of his leprosy. And as he was healed, he was blessed to feel the touch of the gentle hand of his Lord and his Savior. What a blessing. Jesus, and Jesus only, has the cure for leprosy. Jesus, and Jesus only, has the cure for sin. The Lord Jesus gives him some instructions and saith unto him in verse 4, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now let's go back to Leviticus chapter 14 that gives the instructions for what the Lord Jesus is telling this man to do. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp." Remember, that's where the leper was to be. Outside the camp, alone. "And the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed 2 birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel," a clay pot, or clay vessel, "in an earthen vessel over running water, which means spring water, water that would flow. As for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. He shall sprinkle upon him, that is to be cleansed from the leprosy, 7 times. That's the number of completion. That's the number of perfection in the Bible. You may remember in 2 Kings when Naaman the Syrian was cleansed, he was told to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed, well, let's stop there for now. So we see this law that God gave for the pronouncement of one that had been a leper as clean. Notice he tells him to take 2 birds alive and clean. Now, as we read this narrative, I want us to think about how we as spiritual lepers have been cleansed by the Lord. And that happened upon the cross of Calvary, when he shed his precious blood for us, our leprosy, our sins were washed away in his own precious blood. So there's 2 birds here. They're both to be clean. They're both to be holy. Similar languages to other sacrificial animals, without spot, without blemish. They're representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's clean, who's holy, who's totally and completely righteous in every way. He's described in John as the capital L light of the world. So you've got 1 bird that's going to die. The Lord Jesus Christ died because of our leprosy. You know, in Hebrews will tell us, it says, when the Lord Jesus suffered for us, he suffered without the gate. And later it says, let us go therefore to him without the camp. So the Lord Jesus took our leprosy. He took our sins. They were placed upon him. He bore them. So he suffered like a leper outside the gate. He suffered like a leper outside the camp, though he was clean, though he was holy. Yet he had my sins and your sins upon him. One of these birds died. And one of these birds lived. Jesus died, but he didn't stay dead. He died on the cross of Calvary, but on the 3rd day, he rose again in power and in great glory. And he would ascend, fly back into heaven. So I think both of these birds represent the Lord. The bird that dies and the bird that lives to fly away. So one of these birds is killed in verse 5 in an earthen vessel, a clay pot. Now the Lord Jesus is fully God, but he became man. In the Bible, earthen vessel is indicative of this clay pot that we reside in. We're all in a clay pot. That's our flesh. It's the earthly house of our tabernacle. 2 Corinthians 5 describes it. We're in a clay pot. The Lord Jesus, the God of all glory, the creator of heaven and earth, loved us so much, he became a man. He was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the very power of Almighty God. And he came to be a man in a clay pot. Fully God, but fully man. You may say, Brother Mark, why did God have to come in a clay pot? Because he had to die. Angels don't die. God the Father does not die. But the Lord Jesus must needs die for our sins. So he came in a clay pot. He loved us so much, he left the throne room of glory. You think about that. How many songs do we sing on a Sunday where we're anxiously anticipating that day when we'll be with the Lord in heaven and glory? If we were there, would we want to leave and come back to our clay pot? No. But Jesus loved us so much, he left and came in a clay pot. Fully God, but also fully man. The clay pot of humanity. This bird's to be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. The Lord Jesus was killed, the Bible says, tells us he was killed, but the rest of the story is no man could take his life, but he freely laid it down for you and me. This bird was killed in the earthen vessel. The Lord Jesus Christ is fully God, but yet is fully man, hung upon the cross and dying for you and for me. This vessel was over running water. Running water is sometimes called in the Bible living water. It's indicative of the Holy Spirit of God. Hebrews will also tell us that Jesus offered himself through the eternal Spirit without spot to God. It's talking about what he did on the cross. And he said what he did on the cross was through the eternal Spirit. The Holy Spirit was involved in that. And how did Jesus offer himself? It said he offered himself without spot to God. He didn't offer himself to me or to you that we might accept him or we might reject him. But he offered himself without spot to God through the eternal Spirit. So we see these vivid images in the cleansing of a leper of what Jesus did for us. Now let's look at the other things that were involved in this. It says there's to be, verse 4, two birds alive and clean, but also cedar wood. You know, this is the first time in the Bible the word cedar wood is mentioned. Now what is cedar known for? It's really known for a couple of things. It tends to be an incorruptible wood. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus. Incorruptible wood. And it's also a sweet, fragrant wood. We like the smell of cedar. Cedar has a pleasant aroma. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus offered himself without spot to God, the Bible says that he was a sweet-smelling savor unto God. God accepted the sacrifice. He saw the incorruptible cedar. He saw the fragrant sacrifice of Christ, and God the Father was pleased. That's why Isaiah 53 could say it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Why? He accepted the sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ on the cross was a pleasing, sweet-smelling savor unto God the Father. God accepted the sacrifice. in Song of Solomon, as the husband that represents the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his precious bride, he talks about the house being filled with cedar. Sweetness, incorruptness. What the Lord's gathered for us is incorruptible. Peter would write in 1 Peter 1 that we have an inheritance that's what? Incorruptible. Undefiled. And that fadeth not away. And is reserved in heaven for you. The word incorruptible doesn't mean it means more than it's not corrupted. It means it can't be corrupted. There's some things that are not corrupted, but they can be corrupted. I've often wondered, if you want to corrupt somebody, just send them to Washington, D.C. In the middle of all that activity. So incorruptible means more than it's not corrupted. It means it can't be corrupted. So we see this emblem of cedar in the Bible. Then we see this emblem of hyssop. And I'll get back to scarlet in a moment. Hyssop's a vivid image in the Bible. You remember when the Lord instituted the Passover there in Exodus chapter 12? As you continue reading that, remember what happened. The Lord had heaped his plagues upon Egypt. And he's bringing his people, his chosen people, out of bondage in Egypt into freedom. And the last plague that the Lord heaped upon the Egyptians, after Moses had numerous times told Pharaoh the command of God, let my people go. And Pharaoh wouldn't do it. But the last plague was the worst, and it was the death of the firstborn. And everybody, the firstborn of every man and of every beast, was going to die. There was only one exception. The Israelites were to take a Passover lamb. And they were to take the blood of the Passover lamb, and they were supposed to put it on the lintel, which is the top of the door, and on the signpost of the door. The blood of the Passover lamb be on the top of the door and on the two sides of the door. What does that make you think of? The three points of the cross of the Lord Jesus. Blood here, where his nail-pierced hand was. Blood here, where his other nail-pierced hand was. And blood here, where the crown of thorns on his bloody head was. What were they supposed to put the blood on their doorpost with? Hyssop. They were to take hyssop to apply the blood. Hyssop. That's a strong picture of what the Lord Jesus did for us on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said, I thirst. And one of the soldiers got some vinegar and a sponge and put the vinegar in it. Now, if you're thirsty, do you want vinegar? I don't think they were doing that to be nice. I think they were further taunting him. If I'm thirsty, water's great. Don't give me vinegar if I'm thirsty. You know what they put that sponge with the vinegar on to give it to Jesus? Hyssop. You see these great emblems of hyssop being connected with the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for our sins. Moses, as he was commanded to apply the blood, and this is mentioned in the Old Testament law, it's also mentioned in Hebrews, would take scarlet and hyssop to apply the blood where the Lord told him to apply it. So it's this deep picture of what the Lord Jesus would do for us on the cross of Calvary. Hyssop. Now let's look at scarlet. Scarlet has got deep images of redemption in the Holy Scriptures. You know, if you go back and you look at the tabernacle, you'll see that scarlet was all over that thing. Now, literally, the color scarlet is a bright red. That's what the color scarlet looks like, a bright red, representative of the blood of the Lord Jesus. The tabernacle is a strong picture of Christ. It's the place where God met with men. Where is the place where we meet with God? It's through the person of Jesus Christ. John 1 said Jesus came and dwelt. Literally, it means tabernacled among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. How do we meet with God today? They went to the tabernacle because the Shekinah glory of God would come down on the tabernacle. We are able to meet with God today through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came and tabernacled among us, and we're blessed to see his glory through an eye of faith. So there's vivid pictures of what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us in the tabernacle. And scarlet's all over it. Scarlet was on the curtains to enter into the courtyard of the tabernacle. Scarlet was on the curtains to enter into the holy place and the most holy place. Scarlet was on the garments of the high priest. Was all over. You remember when Joshua is going into Jericho. There was some spies sent out, and they began to converse with the harlot Rahab. And Rahab had been blessed by God to see that God of Israel was the true God. And Rahab helps those spies. And Rahab loves the Lord. And that's a great story of grace, that someone who had had such an ungodly lifestyle, that the Lord loved her. And as she befriends these spies tell her, because of what you've done, we're going to save you and your family. And here's to be the sign. You're going to put a scarlet line outside your window. So when the armies of Israel come, where the scarlet line is, everybody in there is going to be saved. And that scarlet line, that word line in the Hebrew literally means hope. So the Lord, this great sinner, this Rahab, give me a little liberty, the leper. She wasn't physically a leper, but she was sinfully a leper. And the Lord shows grace in the Rahab. The Lord had already changed her heart, that she knew that the God of Israel is the true God. And when the spies leave, they said, you hang this line. Well, the spies are not going to be back militarily for numerous days. She doesn't wait. She puts that scarlet line, that scarlet cord of redemption, representing what Jesus would do on the cross. She puts it right outside her window immediately. Now think about how that changed her view. She was still looking out her window at this terrible, wicked city of Jericho. But she was looking at the wicked city through the scarlet line. Whenever she looked out at that wicked city, she did it through the scarlet line. You know what that did? That changed every single day from then on for Rahab. You know, we can look at this old evil world, but we're blessed as the people of God, has been blood bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, by his scarlet blood, by that scarlet line of redemption. And so we can look out at this old wicked world, but it looks different than it used to, because we see it through the scarlet cord of what Jesus has done for us. And it makes us easier to live in this low ground of sin and sorrow, because we see every day what Jesus did for us and how it's changed everything. Scarlet. You know, this word rendered scarlet, the Hebrew word, literally means a scarlet grub, a scarlet worm. And the reason it has that connotation is the way they made the scarlet dye to cover garments, color garments, came from this worm, from this grub. Me and Brother Jeb Owen, he came over and was blessed to preach very ably at the association. And as we were visiting together, as we were driving to the meeting house, we were talking about the scriptures. And he started conveying some things about the scarlet grub that I didn't know. And I went back and researched it myself and found everything exactly like he described it. And it's a blessing. And there was a lesson to me in that. See, we could have been talking about sports or hunting or fishing on the way. But by the blessing of God, we were talking the Word of God. And had we not been, I would have missed the blessing of this sweet picture that I'm about to describe. This scarlet worm, the female would attach itself to a tree, piece of wood, a tree, and it would die on the tree. Does that sound familiar? The Lord Jesus attached himself to a tree, to the cross of Calvary. And he wouldn't leave it till he had died for you and for me. When this scarlet worm, this scarlet grub, this crimson grub, it's also called, it's represented by this Hebrew word rendered scarlet here. When it died, it would secrete a red substance, a red dye that colored itself red and colored her children red. What Jesus did on the cross, he was definitely stained with his own blood. But his blood came to all his offspring, all the children of God, you and me. It came to us, and the offspring were turned red. Then after 3 days, something interesting happened. Now, what happened after 3 days when Jesus died on the cross? He was raised from the dead in power and great glory. After 3 days, this substance becomes white. The red becomes white. Reminded me of what's in Isaiah chapter 1. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. What Jesus did on the cross when he shed his precious blood, and the redness of his blood came upon all the elect family of God. He made us white, whiter than snow, so that we are totally clean and totally righteous by what Jesus has done. They were then to after these things, and the lepers pronounced clean. We as the people of God, because of what Jesus has done, have been pronounced clean. So you got this bird that died, and he was, literally the priest would squeeze that blood into the earthen vessel containing the spring water. Literally into that vessel. You know what that's a picture of? Not a drop of the blood of that bird was wasted. You know, the works view of salvation will say that Jesus' blood was for the entire human race. But for those that don't accept him, that blood did no good. But what the Bible teaches is not a drop of the blood of Christ is wasted. That means every drop that was shed didn't try to save people. It did save people. Saved us eternally. So we see that sweet picture here. Now we talked about the bird that died, but then there's a bird that flies away. And the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had died on the cross, on the third day, he rose in power and great glory. And then he went up to heaven. He flew away, and he's there right now at the right hand of the God the Father on high. Do you know, because Jesus' blood was shed for us, and we as his offspring became red with his blood and cleansed, because he lives, we shall live also. One sweet day, we're going to be like that bird. Fly away. Notice the bird didn't fly to the city. The bird didn't fly to the sea, but it went in the open field out in the country. And the bird flew away. What's that emblematic of freedom, liberty, rest? This is not a trapped bird in a cage. This is a bird that has been released and flies away. We sing that song, some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to that home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, O glory. I'll fly away. What a blessing. How sweet that the Lord pictured so much of what he did for us in the cleansing of that. Yeah, we're like that leper that came to the Lord Jesus, unable to do anything about our lepers. But Jesus did something. He liked that. Touching that leper, he's touched me. He's touched you. He shed his precious blood for us. We're not a leper, isolated outside the camp anymore. But we've been blessed to be back in the camp with our families in the church. And what a sweet and wonderful blessing that is, till the day we'll fly away and be at rest. God bless you, is my prayer.